You're listening to Gab Street, Columbus, Ohio's number one podcast for the counterculture. Hear unique, honest perspectives from the most talented creatives in your city about our most important issues, and discover your new favorite people along the way. Support your locals before they go global. Gab Street listeners, welcome back to another edition of the weekly show you've been tuning into, the number one show in Columbus, Ohio for the counterculture. We are here after episode 100. We've officially passed that milestone. Very proud of that. We're glad to have been around for that long at this point. Episode 101 is here, and today we are interviewing Millie May. Say hello.
Hi there.
Millie May's had a good morning of morning door dashing, which I did not think was a thing beforehand. So that's cool. I've now learned that people order DoorDash in the morning. That's awesome. I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely do. I mean, it gets me some money because I think I'm the only person who probably does DoorDash at that hour.
Oh, did I just let out your trade secret? Oh, shit.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Everybody's going to take up your shift now.
Quite frankly, I would like that. I don't like being up early. I'm not a morning
person. Okay, that's fair. That's funny. So, Millie May, you are a recording artist, and you are also a producer.
Yes.
And I have to ask, were you an artist first, or were you an audio engineer first?
I was definitely an artist first. I did a project with Luno Moon as Modern Ocean. We had like a group, and he did most of the producing and the audio engineering and most of all of that. I just kind of watched from afar and learned, but in a short answer, I think I was an artist before I was an audio engineer and producer.
Awesome. And is there one that's more important to you over the other?
That's a really good question, actually.
Thanks.
I honestly, audio engineering brings in more money.
fair enough.
But the artistry, I guess, like, I just really like being creative, which you still can be creative as an audio engineer. But I feel like being an artist takes more creativity for me personally. So I kind of like being an artist over an audio engineer. Quite okay. Frankly, if we're talking from a creative perspective, from a money perspective, definitely audio engineer.
Fair enough. I think that's a good answer. I think a lot of people would agree with you, too.
Yeah.
What were the beginnings of your interest in music overall?
So my dad is actually a musician. He goes by Todd May. And I've just been around instruments my entire life. So when I was little, I would just, of course, you think your dad or you think your parents are the coolest people in the world when you're like three. So, of course, I would play on the piano and like play guitar, write really cool songs, stuff like that. Just do all of that fun stuff. He's really the one who inspired my love for music. Then throughout time, I started to lose interest a little bit because I didn't find it realistic. I didn't think that was going to be like a sustainable career when I was about high school age. And then at some point I graduated and was like, yeah, you know what? I don't have a sustainable career if that's so. Like, I'm going to go back to music. Like, I swear your passion always finds you if you try to lose it. If you try to run from music, it'll find you if that's your passion, I promise.
That seems to be the case with a lot of people. I agree with you. And I would say that if you do have a passion for it and it's really what you're meant to do, in a sense, then the money will come from the effort put in and the passion itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's what you
manifest.
Yes, exactly. You can only really manifest your passion.
Yeah.
And would you say that that's been accurate for you?
Relatively, yeah. I mean, there's clearly going to be some stagnant times in your life, especially right now.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty stagnant for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. But
yeah, I would say yes and no, in the way that maybe if I tried a little bit harder, that it would probably come a little easier. But like I said, it's stagnant times and rough times for everybody right now.
That's very true. So what are some of the biggest challenges other than COVID that you've overcome as both an artist and audio engineer?
Honestly, being discouraged within myself.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist and I'm my biggest critic for sure. But to the point where it becomes a little bit manic and toxic, like it needs to calm down a little bit. Like I still struggle with that to this day because I always feel like I should be better than I actually am.
Okay, let's try again. There we go. Okay, we're back in business. Cool. All right. Rarely happens. Some technical difficulties. Sorry about that, audience. We're back.
It happens.
So, what's a... Oh, yes. Okay. I wanted to continue on that point. So, I've definitely also been there. I think a lot of us have, where a lot of the biggest challenges come from purely just motivating yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, I know I said outside of COVID, but, you know, for the show even right now, like... doing it over Discord like this is still fun and is still good, but I definitely still prefer doing in person.
And absolutely.
It does get a little bit more difficult to motivate yourself to do this. Yeah. But we ain't stopping. No worries.
Yeah.
But if y'all, this is to the audience in general, during this time, if you have kept going or if you've stopped what you're doing for the time being, I think both are completely valid, just because everyone operates differently in different environments.
Yeah.
And you know, some people thrive when it comes to quarantine and isolation and stuff, and others really need that energy around them to do what they do best. So
absolutely,
all of you are valid in all of your levels of motivation. None of you have anything to worry about. And
yeah.
You don't need a new side hustle after this. No worries.
For real.
But I am still proud of those of you who have kept going.
Yeah. So. Absolutely.
So let's take a look.
Myself.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Couldn't have said that better myself.
Why, thank you. Now, let's look back a little bit. We talked about the beginnings of your interest in music, but I'm curious as to kind of the timeline of your career up until this point.
Yeah, so I started individually, I started working with Luno Moon when I was we met when I was 17, so that was not too long ago, but kind of long ago.
Yeah.
We started working on the Modern Ocean album and worked together on that. Clearly, I was more of an artist then than I am even now, I'd say. But so we made that album. Then we released it when I was 18. Then in 2019, we had a little hiatus falling out type situation.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, everyone happens. It does.
Yeah.
Everyone does it. But... so then I went to the recording workshop and then I kind of discovered who it was that I wanted to be as an artist and who I even was as a person and what I wanted to do and where my passion lied within music. So then I released my first song as an individual artist, not as Modern Ocean, as Millie May in 2019 of October. I believe that was on SoundCloud. It was Let's Not Fall in Love.
Cool.
That was my first little take on R&B. It was a SZA sample. Yeah. That's really where that Millie May, the name Millie May, started. Then I've just kind of been trucking along and trying to keep going and releasing a single every year or so. I'm working on a project right now, but you know, again, not to be redundant, but with COVID, it gets a little difficult to find a studio, so on and so forth.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's cool. And I checked out a few of your tracks last night. I listened to Someone to Me, especially. And I really love how you integrate jazz influence and more funk and R&B into a pop kind of structure.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Now, I'm usually not a fan of pop pretty much at all, and I listen to it and I absolutely fuck with it. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. I really love to hear that someone who doesn't like pop likes a pop song of mine.
you killed it.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that.
Of course. So, who do you draw influence from then?
I have an eclectic influence, I'd say. Where I learned to sing, actually, is I mimicked Stevie Wonder. Like, that's one of my largest influences.
That's awesome.
Another one of my influences is even like in the contemporary R&B era, SZA. I absolutely love SZA.
Yes.
Childish Gambino. Absolutely love Childish Gambino. That's where I like try to get my producing style from.
Oh, cool.
I guess. Also Prince. Prince was a very large influence on Someone to Me, to be honest.
I love all four of those influences. That's wonderful.
And lastly, this felt cooler when they weren't as big, but Tame Impala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now everybody loves Tame Impala. And I'm like, dang, like that used to be cooler to say when they were like, when it was like 2012.
I will say I didn't really get into Tame Impala until like January of 2020. So
that's totally fair.
I will admit I'm a poser. I understand. I'm there.
Not a poser at all. I mean, they started making music that was a broader, to like appealed to a broader audience, I'd say.
Very true. I agree. I did listen to Feels Like We're Only Going Backwards back in 2012. I know I heard that. So
that's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, it's fantastic. So cool. I'm glad we share that interest in Tame Impala. That's sweet.
Yeah.
What are you the most proud of in your career?
Actually, I've been thinking about this one recently. The fact that my song Affliction that I released almost a year ago, exactly, reached listeners in Germany.
Ooh.
I think it was Frankfurt am Main. I was so astonished to see that a lot of my streams came from Germany. I was like, wow. So just in case anyone from Germany happens to be listening right now, shout out to you. Love you very much.
Shout out to all of Germany.
That's awesome. Just the whole country.
Yes. Yeah, I think we have one listener to the podcast from the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. I believe that's how it's labeled on Anchor, so that's exciting.
Awesome.
I'm with you there on the global audience.
Mm-hmm. I know
it just says one, but I just thought it was funny.
One is more than nothing.
True. So I'm curious, and I haven't really asked this of an audio engineer before, and I've been wanting to. What are the most important things to do when producing a song or mastering a song, and what can a song not live without?
That is an excellent question. As far as the most important thing with mastering, I'd say make sure it is not clipping, because then it'll sound muffled. And I've made plenty of mistakes doing that, especially I'm clearly getting better at it now since I've been like learning, and really audio engineering is you're just learning every day something new. It's you never ever stop learning, because things change all the time. But as far as something a song can't live without, I'd say there's really no bounds or limitations to creativity and making a song. Like, The only thing I think a song can't live without is creativity, which is kind of goes without saying.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree with you, because, I mean, there are all kinds of production styles. I mean, you can go back and listen to Captain Beefheart in the 70s and, like, they have towels over their drums. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
People are just like, yeah, fuck it, let's try this, you know?
Yeah. And I usually say that maybe it couldn't live without a chorus, but even, like, that's not true, because some of my favorite songs are interludes and the entire thing is, it has no structure at all. And some of those songs are the coolest songs ever.
I agree. I love structureless songs because it kind of, I've studied, like, actual music theory in high school. It's been since high school. I was in marching band. That's what I'm talking about. But I learned a little bit about time signatures and things like that. And yeah. I love when musicians will, like, switch between time signatures and keys mid-song. And
I love that.
When you can do that kind of stuff well and calculatedly, you know, that's when it really shows. So that's
absolutely
cool. So what would you, for your music specifically, what are the most important things about your production style?
For my production style, I struggle with this, actually. I feel like the mixing is very important for my music style, because usually with pop, like, the songs are mixed by, like, 12 different professional and well-known, reputable engineers, and I'm just like one amateur from Columbus, Ohio, like, with freaking KRK speakers, kind of still learning what to do. So I feel like mixing is a super important thing that I have yet to be an expert in.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, for as far as that goes, but with production style, I'm in love with synths. Like, that is one of my favorite things, like, in a song. One of my favorite elements in a song is for it to have some sort of, like, psychedelic type of feel, whether that be in the synth, in the bass, or in the reverb, in the voice, or an echo. Like, I love to have some psychedelia in there.
It's something that kind of gives it atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. This makes me think of a band I listened to called Moving Mountains, and, like, every one of their songs, I usually describe it like this, where I love music where you can't, it's hard to visualize the band playing it or the person playing it.
Yeah.
It just gives you other images. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I've always really liked when people can pull that off, so that's really cool. Awesome.
I agree.
In your music, and specifically your lyrics, how do you decide what to write about, and where do you pull it from?
Most of the time, I write about things that I have went through, or, like, that I am currently going through. That's most of the time. However, sometimes I will just write, like, scenarios that have the potential of happening, or something that I'm experiencing through a friend vicariously. Like, I just, sometimes I will write about things I experience, sometimes it's scenarios that haven't happened. But also, I feel like a lot of my songs have something to do with love and or sex.
Cool.
So, yeah. In a short answer, love and or sex.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. I think we need more music like that from Columbus. I don't think we have enough, to be honest with you.
So, really?
Yes.
I'm interested to know more about that.
It feels like some people will in the scene will hold back how they actually want to express themselves.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair, because Columbus isn't, like, you kind of have to, people feel like they have to be careful in order to make money off of their music, or, you know, get bigger. But
yeah,
I think bringing that authenticity in is actually more helpful than not. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what to be if I am not authentic. Like, I I can't be if I'm not authentic or genuine.
Me neither. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So I saw on your story earlier this morning, actually, that you are planning on dropping an acoustic SCA cover. How do you say the name again?
SZA.
SZA. Okay, cool. I've listened to her, but I never got that right. So SZA. Okay, I got it.
I get you.
Are you able to share any details?
Yeah, when I put acoustic in quotations, it's not really like an acoustic guitar. Like, I'm not sure if you've seen the, or if anyone who's listening to this has seen the Hit Different and Good Days. They call it acoustic. It's more of like a live version, I'd say. But she has one of her friends playing the synth in the background, and then she's just singing over it, and it is the most beautiful thing. If not, okay, that's a little bit overdramatic. One of the most beautiful things I've ever heard in my life. Like, it makes me feel so happy. So the other day I posted it somewhere, and my friend was like, you should totally cover that. And I was like, why haven't I? I should have done that yesterday. But yeah, so I'm planning to release that here in the next couple of days, depending on when my voice feels like working its best.
I feel that. That's awesome. I'll be looking forward to, I'll be looking out for that.
Thank you.
Of course. I'll also be looking forward to the project that you briefly mentioned a little bit ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to release in probably the springtime, latest summertime. This is so redundant, but it just depends on how everything shakes out with COVID. And if things get better, it's not really looking like they're doing much better right now. But, I mean, we'll just have to see. My hopes are high, so.
What stage in the process are you at?
Well, I have, like, at least 5 songs that I have on there. I would like to make it a little bit longer because it's been so long since I've started. Like, it's been 2 years now since I've started being an individual artist. And I feel like to not have more than 5 songs, I mean, there's not really any expectations from anybody but myself. So I'm like, I should have more than 5 songs on a project that I have been trying to work on for 2 years now. Like, this seems a little bit lazy. So, but I have been kind of even changing my sound to more of a psychedelic type R&B sound. Like, I feel like that's what I was going for originally, but now I feel like it's taking on a new form of how I'm actually supposed to, well, not even supposed to, I don't like that word, how I feel like I want to sound.
Okay. I appreciate that you're adjusting your language for the semantics like that. I also do that constantly. No, that's cool. It seems like you have a very good handle on what you want to accomplish and what standards you've set for yourself. And that's something that not a lot of people can say that they have. So much respect for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. And I will also say that having your own expectations for yourself with, you know, having more than 5 songs on a project is great for ambition and all of that. I also think it's important to know that, you know, some people have worked on a single. I know this is super cliche. I'm going to use the most cliche example that we all heard in our childhood, but so many painters have spent their entire lives on one painting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right about that. I need to think about that a little more often.
It's also quality over quantity, too.
Yeah, and that's also true.
I think having, you know, 5 really stellar songs versus having, like, a full-length LP with, you know, 15, 16, like, really shitty tracks, then, like, people are gonna know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't quite even out how you would want it to.
So,
so spending 2 years on five tracks is completely reasonable, in my opinion.
You know, thank you. You're right.
Of course, no problem. I've also released a little bit of music of my own and been there on the same feeling, because both projects I've released have been under 30 minutes long, and they were like a year apart, but...
Short and sweet, you know?
That's true. Yeah, so people don't have to put up with it for as long.
Okay, no, that's not what I meant.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But I feel that.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'll have an artist that I'm a big fan of release something really short, and I'll actually really appreciate it for that, because then you can listen to it on repeat more often. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Brother Ali dropped a project. This is just sharing something I really love with the audience here. Brother Ali dropped a short EP in 2012 called The Bite Marked Heart. And I think that even Brother Ali fans are not tuned in to the fact that that dropped. And it is some of the most beautiful love rap I have ever heard in my life. So there's an example of quality over quantity there with an actual, you know, on a label, big recording artist. So I think all forms of music releases are valid. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. Some of my friends actually have only released one minute 30 second songs, and I like blast them. I'm like, dang, like I wish this were longer, but also I don't, so then I can press replay like 64 times and just listen over and over, over and over and over again.
Also, shorter songs mean more streams.
Yeah, exactly.
you gotta play the system there.
Exactly. They're ahead of the game. They're ahead of the curve.
It's true. So we've talked about you releasing the project, but outside of that, do you have any other goals for 2021?
Actually, I have a couple. Yeah. So I am working. We haven't exactly figured out the name for it quite yet, but Luno Moon, Jay Vega, and Lee's Instagram tag is Lee That Shit Crazy.
Hell yeah.
We're like working on this collaboration as a band right now. So I'm hoping to maybe get like an EP or like at least a single out with that. We just made like a pretty hot track yesterday. We still have yet to lay vocals down on it, but I have high hopes for that. Like that, it's going well really far. We actually just had a show. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought for a second.
That's cool.
We had a show at Usic Brand. What was that?
Yeah.
Tuesday? And it was amazing. Like I haven't performed live for almost a year now. And it was really liberating to perform live one more time. But I feel like it went as well as it could have for us just meeting the 2 days prior and just kind of shooting the shit and trying things out.
Damn, that's a quick turnaround, and also a few names that I am very pumped to hear working together.
Oh, nice!
Yeah. I mean, I just want to have all of the Columbus artists make music with each other all the time. That's just like, I love when that happens. I'm always waiting for more collabs, so this is super exciting. I think I've seen Jay Vega perform a few times, actually, at Declassified back when that happened. I've always really loved Jay Vega's music.
He's super dope. One of my closest friends.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think I met him a couple times, too. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And I've seen the name Lee. I don't know if I've listened to them, and I have not listened to Luno Moon yet, but
Both 10 out of 10 recommend. Amazing people, amazing songs.
Hell yes.
Amazing work.
I am excited. So, with the city of Columbus in mind, as we are a Columbus, Ohio podcast, as we so obnoxiously advertise on our name, I'm curious, and you said that you're from here, correct?
Yeah, born and raised.
Same here. Cool.
Nice.
How has Columbus as a city, whether it's the music scene, whether it's the people, whether it's the structure, just any aspect of it, how has it helped you or set you back?
This is going to sound super cheesy, but I'm going to go ahead and swing anyway. So
go right ahead.
There are times, like I said earlier, where I've lost faith in my passion. And I'm like, well, sometimes it's really hard and it seems like no one sincerely gives a flying fuck. So, I mean, with that being said, every now and then I'll lose some faith in creativity, as everybody does. And I'll get a message, like, right when I'm like, I should just give up. And it'll be, like, one of the people from the music scene, or maybe not even, just someone from Columbus that listens to music a lot. It's like, hey, when you're releasing next? And that, I'm like, wow, someone actually cares. Like, there's somebody besides me and my three friends that actually care about me releasing music. Like, that is super helpful. Like, it really does help. Also, Sam Rothstein has put me on to a lot of his bills and a lot of his shows.
Hell yes.
So that's opened a lot of opportunity for me to progress as a local artist.
Shout out Sam Rothstein.
Yeah, shout out Sam Rothstein.
Real big shout outs there. That's great. Yeah, I'm glad that's always been, whenever I've asked anybody that question, it's been a similar answer, because the people in Columbus really do, at least within the music scene, or specifically even in the more focused on hip hop and funk and R&B scene, are very supportive of each other in a lot of ways, and they really show up. We're very tight knit here, mostly because I think people don't perceive it as a place like L.A. or New York, where it's a music city and you go there to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not like so competitive, and it's not like crabs trying to claw each other out of a bucket. It's more like everyone's linked arms and actually supports one another and actually takes the time to listen to each other's music. Or at least I do.
That's true. Yeah. People do listen to each other's stuff here, actually. I feel like they actually engage with each other's content.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also feel like a big difference between here and those other cities might be that a lot of the venues and labels and such that were started in like LA and New York, they're started by business people. And people who were interested in the arts in order to, you know, have financial gain, and not really too much for the interest of the creativity itself. And that has not infiltrated Columbus. The things that are being built here are being built in a grassroots way. And you mentioned Uzik Brands earlier. That's a locally built brand. That's an awesome center for people to get put on, really.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sam Rothstein is a recording artist himself and has a lot of respect for the people around here. And like, we all just put each other on instead of relying on people to put us on that, you know, are doing it for other reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's absolutely one reason why I love this city and its music scene is because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree.
Was there anything else that... do you want to talk about the recording workshop?
Oh, yeah, okay. So that's where I got my degree. Well, I guess it is a degree, but it's more of a certification. I absolutely loved that place, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to become a certified audio engineer. It is it's like a second home to me, quite frankly. They're always very welcoming if you ever want to come back. And even when you're there, like, I never at any point felt like I was unwanted or that I was not welcome. Like, it was fabulous. And I learned a lot. And it was honestly some of the best weeks of my life spent there. Like, it was amazing.
That's great. And was it like is it like a camp where you stay there, or did you just go there each day?
It's kind of like a camp, honestly. Like, you really? Get like, yeah, you get to stay in a cabin. I mean, you can go home. Like, they're never like, you absolutely cannot go home. You are held hostage. but I mean, it's more fun if you stay there because you get to like, I never really got the college experience of having like roommates or anything. Like, that was the closest thing that I had, like a taste of that. But it was a little more fun because I was doing something that I actually liked to do. And I wasn't struggling to like work a job to pay for my housing. Like, I already did that ahead of time, which I guess you kind of do in college too, if you're in a dorm, but like, yeah, I don't know. Like, that was just amazing. Like, I absolutely recommend it 110%. You stay in a cabin. I think I stayed in a cabin. Yeah. They have different options. You can stay in, like, a trailer. I wouldn't recommend that, quite frankly. I was in one of them, and it was a little small.
Yeah.
I like a lot of space, personally. Yeah. So with that being that, the trailers are cheaper, but the cabins are a little more fun.
That is super cool. I had no idea that anything like that was even in Ohio.
Yeah. It's only like about an hour or 10 minutes away. So it's really not that far from Columbus. That is like, it's not that far. Like, I drove home most weekends to just come back and see my family and whatnot. But, like, yeah, if you are even kind of considering being an audio engineer, I would not recommend, like, going to OU. Like, do what you're going to do, but I would say Recording Workshop does it pretty well, and they do it in a span of 7 weeks. So, like, I would rather learn something now than over a course of 2 years and pay and be in like thousands of dollars in debt personally. But
felt that.
Yeah, like that's a whole other conversation though.
And it does show in Columbus that audio engineers don't necessarily have to go anywhere like Fort Hays or OU or OSU or anything with an actual academic collegiate program for audio engineering, because we can just teach each other and go to places like the Recording Workshop. And, you know, people like in the scene, like Yogi Split and you and several other, and like the Dreamcatchers, you know, were,
yeah.
I feel like I haven't heard of many people that are classically educated in it that are actually doing something in the scene.
Yeah. That's true. But I also feel like a lot, like, for example, Jay Vega and Luno Moon, like, they don't have, like, Jay Vega, like, went to school for it for a little bit. I'm not really sure what the whole details are on that, and I'm not gonna go ahead and tell his story for him. But like, for both of them, like, they don't have degrees, and I would argue to say that they're better than I am at mixing and mastering, but it's also because they do it all the time. That's one thing, like, as an audio engineer, like, you have to be practicing it as anything else, like, practice makes perfect or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I believe they're a lot better than me because they really put work and effort into it. I just kind of like, as though I am certified, I just feel like I have a lot to learn still in the sense.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
But maybe I'm also being humble. I don't know. I'm totally kidding. That was cocky.
Well, I think even if someone has a lot to learn, there isn't necessarily, although I'm not an audio engineer, so I could be totally speaking out of my ass, but I feel like when you're developing your own style over time as an audio engineer, it's more important for that to be developed rather than technical skill.
Yeah.
Per se. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Especially, okay, cool. Like, if you are doing, like, a broad type of music, like, if you're doing, like, some trap type beats or, like, some, then you have, like, another course of where you're doing some, like, alternative type thing. Like, mm-hmm. those call for not entirely different mixing, but it's a different style of mixing.
Yeah.
So, like, to learn what it is that you need to know for both of those genres, it's going to take some extra learning. Like, I personally don't know how to, I'm not very good at mixing drums. I know that sounds really weird, but percussion
tough.
For me is the most difficult thing to mix for whatever reason. Like, I feel like I can never get the kick punchy enough, or it's too punchy. And yeah, or the snares, like, just not, it's not present enough. I don't know how to explain it any other way than that. But, I feel like there's different styles that you have to go about different genres of music. And I have been kind of out of the game of audio engineering for a year because I worked at Muzo. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, cool. I know about Muzo.
Yeah, I worked at Muzo for a little bit.
Nice.
And then we had like a whole event planned. And then, bam, COVID was like, yeah, no more than like 20 people in a room. So we were like, okay, well, I guess that is that on that. We cannot do that anymore. So then like Curlin just kind of, it's like, yeah, I don't really want anybody here for a second. So then I was like, okay, like, I'm going to quarantine for a month, even though I didn't have COVID at that time. I hid for, like, March and April. And I haven't been back there. Which I really missed it there. I really loved that. That was an amazing experience. But
would you consider going back?
Oh, my gosh, in a heartbeat. But
are they
also
still not?
Like, yeah, they're still not up and functioning. Like,
okay.
Aaron/Dylan Smith, he's been in South Carolina for a grip now, and hasn't been back, which he's like my connect. He hired me. So like, if he's not there, I feel like it'd be weird if I were just like, hey, what's up everybody who's not here and I'm in this place alone.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, do you plan on going back there then? As soon as you can?
Yeah, I would, honestly. I absolutely love it there. As soon as I could, yeah. Like, if he comes back tomorrow and is like, hey, I need you in the studio, I'd be like, absolutely. Like, tell me a time and I'm there.
Hell yeah. Cool. And did you have any involvement? This is purely out of my own curiosity. But yeah. Did you have any involvement with, like, Blended View 614 or any of the other shows that they did at Muzo Studio?
I don't think I ever was on or, like, I kind of would briefly see them when I was there.
Okay.
Like, I would just be like, hey, what's up? But I never, like, audio engineered for the podcast. Like, they kind of, it was a pretty simple thing that they had a pretty simple system. So, that, like, you could pretty much teach yourself how. It's pretty user-friendly. Like, they did it all themselves.
Cool.
But I would see them in passing for a short answer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I had just been following their Instagram for a while, and you said Muzo, and I was like, oh, cool. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Really, I think we covered just about everything.
Hell yeah. Awesome. How can people find and support you?
The best way to keep up with me, honestly, is by watching my Instagram, which is at the T-H-E Millie Mae, and you'll probably see how to spell my name on the podcast itself, so I'm not going to spell that out. But that's the best way to find me. I also have a website, which is just milliemae.net. So, like, I have everything up to date on there. But honestly, the best way to keep up is by my Instagram, because I post everything on there.
Awesome. And we prepared for this part earlier. Do you have any last minute shout outs to make?
Yeah, I do, actually. One of my close friends, Yana Aki, is an upcoming artist and in Columbus and Bowling Green. We have song together called The Call. It's an R&B. It's kind of like a Kalani type thing. So if you like Kalani or Gianico, I always have a hard time saying your name, but I think I got it right this time.
I think you did too, as far as I know. Nice.
Perfect. If I didn't, someone, I give you full permission to hate on me in my DMs. But anyway, yeah, like it's called The Call. So shout out to Yana Aki. Shout out to Jay Vega, Luna Moon, and Lee, because they have my heart. And we're going to work on the band type thing. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. And you know what? One more shout out. My father, Todd May. Go check him out. He's a little bit more of like a punk country type thing, but I'm sure there are people that like love that type of thing. So
that sounds interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
Those are my shout outs complete. I'm not going to do any more.
Short and sweet. I like it.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on this week. This has been awesome.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. We will catch you again next Wednesday morning, just like every single week at 6 a.m. with episode 102. And we hope to see you then. Thank you for listening this week. Have a great rest of your day, pedestrians. See you.